to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
If you would today, I want you to look with me at the book of 2 Kings. It's always good nuggets in the life of those that lived during the time of 1 and 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Now Naaman," or Naaman as we call him, "captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because of him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." Let's go on down to verse 14. So verse 14, "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will not receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, 'Shall there not, then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto the other gods, but unto the Lord.'" Verse 18, In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when thy master go into the house of Rimmon to worship there, he lean not on his hand, but on my hand, and bow myself in the house of Ramon. When I bow down myself in the house of Ramon, the Lord pardoned thy servant of this thing. And he said unto him, 'Go in peace.' So he departed from him a little way." Let's stop. We want to use for a thought the blessing of being humble, honorable, and obedient. Amen. Whether you believe this or not, there are people that look at you and they recognize the greatness on your life. That's why there's an attack sometimes from some of those people. They can't help it. It's the enemy that's within them. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against evil wickedness in high places. Have you ever had someone down you, talk about you, put you down for apparently no reason at all? What happened is they don't want other people to see the greatness on your life. And it's really not them, but it is the enemy that is using them to try to break down or beat you down or take you down to a level. Amen? Because God has raised you up above those things. Amen? But he was a great man, and look, and he was honorable. Amen? He was an honorable man. Amen? It means that he arose above the norm, amen? He was able to carry, he was able to be exalted or lifted up, amen, and still do the things that he was supposed to do. Being a great man, he was still an honorable man. You got some people that have positions, great positions, but they're not honorable. Oh, come on and say amen. You got some people that are in positions and they are thieves and liars and backbiters and so on and so forth. We see here that Naaman was a great man and he was honorable. And you know what? He, because of the Lord saw him and the Lord saw his honor and his greatness. And the Bible says in verse 1, "And the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria because of him." You don't realize this, but you need to today, that God will bless certain places and certain people all because you're in the mix. I wish I had somebody that realized the reason why your job will prosper, the reason why your family prosper, the reason why your group, your club, they prosper is because you are a part of what's going on. And so because of Naaman, amen, the Lord had given deliverance to Syria and made them the most powerful country in the world at that time. Amen. He had given great deliverance because of him. Amen. And you see here, we got to understand that the Lord will do some things because of us. Amen. Because he look upon his righteous. And the Bible says, even in the Psalms, he said that he would not let the anointed legs or bones be broken. Amen. He would not allow them to break the bones of his anointed. In other words, he won't let them fracture and injure you so deeply. Amen. It is also prophetic for Jesus, but he won't allow you to be fractured and broken so deeply that it seemed like you can't walk, move, and do what he wants you to do. Amen. So you need to quit succumbing to your situation, saying, I just can't move. I can't go no further. Yes, you can if you want to. If you quit trying to get people to feel sorry for you, you can move on. If you can quit letting, make sure I want them to see me crying. I want them to see so they can pat me on the back. You know what? I want people to see me excelling. I want them to see me getting victory. I want them to see me and my face like a flint. You won't know. If I'm going through it, you ain't going to know it. Amen. Because I got a God that I'm dependent on. I'm not dependent on your pat on the back. I'm not dependent on you rubbing my head and say, it's going to be all right. I'm not dependent on that. I'm dependent on the Lord our God. And if he can't deliver, I can't be delivered. And so your pat on the back won't help. Your sympathy card won't do. Oh, my God, today. Oh, yeah, you see, I don't care about what you do. You can give me, help me, all of that. None of that means anything except the Lord deliver. It's not deliverance. Except the Lord bring me out, I'm still not brought out. Except the Lord make me free, I'm still bound up. And so I'll trust in God. He was honorable. But honorable people go through crisis too. My God, today. Look at this. He says that he was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Here he was, a great man, an honorable man, and a man of valor, an obedient man, a man, but he was a leper. He had an issue. Some of us don't want to have issues. I'm a child of God. I should not have an issue. Oh yeah, as long as you live in this flesh, you're going to have an issue. Notice Naaman's problem was in his flesh. Your flesh can cause you to have an issue. Some of us have these flesh issues that we need to deal with and have God or let God deal with them, because we've been dealing with them for 20 and 30 years and we still got them. Amen. So we need to let God deal with these issues. The Bible said that he was an honorable man. He was an humble man, an obedient man, a great man, but he was a leper. Does that take away from his greatness? No. Does that take away from him being an honorable man? No. Does it take away from him being a victorious man of valor? No. Didn't take away from him being a great man. But he still was a leper. And we know what leprosy is. Leprosy in that day was, if you will, it was your cancer of this day. Amen. If you hear somebody got it, you first thing you think about is, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Amen. But we do know that we have a God that is greater than cancer, a God that is greater than leprosy, a God that can heal. The Bible said with his stripes we are and we are healed today. Amen. Peter said we were healed. It's a past tense thing. I'm living in my healing now. Come on and say amen. But he was a leper, but he still, it didn't hinder him from being a great man. It didn't hinder him from having the favor of God. Isn't that something, how you can have favor from God, you can have the divine favor of God on your life and still have a problem in your flesh? Isn't that something, how you can walk in the blessings and the abundance of God and still have a problem in your flesh? Isn't it something, how God can do all kind of things in your life and you you still walk away knowing what God has done, but you're saying, God, I still got this issue in my flesh. I'm just talking to me this morning. And if I'm just talking to me, you can listen. Do you know that you can walk in all of that? You can heal the sick. You can even raise the dead and still have an issue because you live in the flesh. Naaman was a leper. Leprosy started on the inside. Oh, my God. And then it manifested on the outside. And by the time you see the manifestation on the outside, amen, it was already almost too late. Because then you start to see a deterioration on the outside of the skin and the losing of limbs and phalanges and parts of the body because of this cruel disease called leprosy. Leprosy was so cruel that it'll even attack the vocal cords and it made the people sound really raspy. It attacked the skin to make them disformed and deformed so that they would even look like a leopard. That's why they called it leprosy, because of what it did to that person. It caused a transformation in the entire being of a person, and it started on the inside. Sounds like sin to me. Sound like some stuff that we deal with in ourselves. That something within you can really transform you into an animal that you don't want to be. Better watch it. Oh, come on and say amen. So many of us, we say, I'm a beast. You don't mess with me. It'll transform you. Something on the inside of you transforms you into something that you really don't want to be. But by the time you see the manifestation, if you let that linger on the inside of you, when you see the manifestation of it, is almost too late. Tell somebody it's almost, but it ain't too late. Come on and say amen. So we look at Naaman, and here he was, I told you, a man of honor, but a man in crisis at the same time. He was a man that had favor, but he still had fear of losing some things in his life at the same time. Amen. And verse 2 said, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought captive of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Amen. So when we look at this now, all of a sudden, Naaman's crisis, amen, starts to turn into hope. He was an honorable man. Now he has hope because all of a sudden, let me tell you the story. I just want you to see some things in these scriptures that you can be an honorable person and have crisis. Amen. But then God has a way of doing things. They went out and they raided Israel and they found this little maid. Amen. How many know that it doesn't matter who it is, but as long as they got a word? Oh, Lord, have mercy. He said that they got this little maid, and she served and waited on Naaman's wife. Many of us, we want people to wait on us. We want people to do for us. Amen. But when you start waiting as God wants you to wait, when you start become a waiter, a servant of the living God, then God will use you in the life of people, amen, to bless them. Hallelujah. This little maid, she was a servant. Don't you know that God speak to his servants? God speak to them no matter how little they are and no matter what you think about them. Amen. They didn't even mention her name. Some of us, we're trying to get our name in lights. We want to be somebody. We want to be on TV. We want to hear our name called sometime. Amen. But how many know that sometime you don't need to call my name? All I need you to do is hear what I'm saying. You don't have to call my name and put my name in lights and make me look glamorous and glorious. Amen. All the glory goes to him. They didn't even call her name, but the Bible said that she spoke a word. Oh, yeah, we need to see something here. That the reason why Naaman, if you read the book, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, and I'm getting ahead of myself, he said that there were many lepers in that day. Jesus even spoke about Naaman. He said there were many lepers of that day, but none of them were cleansed except this one named Naaman, who wasn't even an Israelite, but he was a Syrian who didn't qualify for the blessings of Israel. See what happened here. We got to see something. It made Naaman much different than everybody else because Naaman would hear a word. It made him different because a word was sent to Naaman. What makes your situation different? Everybody has been going through some stuff. Somebody been sick of the same stuff you've been sick with, and they didn't make it, but you made it. What makes you so different? You know what makes you different? is that a word has been sent to you. What makes you different while you go through your problems is that God is speaking to you directly about your situation. Oh yeah, because you trust his word, because you believe his word, that's what makes me different than everybody else that's going through what I'm going through. Everybody got problems in their flesh, but what makes me different? I'm different because I hear what God is saying. I'm different because I will act on what God is saying. But I'm a little bit different than everybody else, and so was Naaman. He was so different that Jesus took note of what he did. Do you know that Jesus already knew what was going to happen? Because if we go back to verse 1, he said that the Lord had favor on him. The Lord had caused them to have deliverance in Syria because of him. And before his conversion, before he believed on God, guess what? He had victory. See, some of us wait till we get in God, then we start talking about how defeated we are. But before this man even knew about God, before he knew him, God had favor on him. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Before I became a preacher, that was a reason why God gave me victory in the world. That was a reason why he didn't let me die in my sin. That was a reason why he didn't let somebody take me out and damage me to the point that I would never reach this point that I'm in my life right now. You got to understand that God has a sovereign plan, and it exceeds what we think. He said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, but my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So come on and say amen. He even said, as far as the heaven is from the earth, you're so far away from my thoughts and my ways. You see, we couldn't understand how God would do this for a Syrian. Somebody who had never even experienced him, somebody who had never even heard him, but God sent a word to him. You see, how did he do it? He sent it by a captive, somebody who got caught up. Somebody who got caught up at the wrong place at the wrong time, but she remembered what she had been taught. See, some of us, we're taken captive in so many ways. We're taken captive in the world. We go about doing worldly things, but God has a plan for that too. That woman got caught up. That little maid who has no name got caught up and was taken captive and so happened to end up in Naaman's house. Naaman was second in the country of Syria. He was the champion captain of the army of Syria. And all of a sudden, this girl ends up in his house, only there so that she can tell them about God. Look, the only reason why I had to let somebody know just the other day, the only reason why I'm at my job doing what I do is because God has a plan. I'm not looking to go anywhere else right now because I know that God has a plan. And I got to tell somebody about the Lord. See, you may think that you hooked up and met up with somebody and they out in the world and you go out with them, but you need to stop and remember what you've been taught. You need to let them know that there is a God in the house. Come on and say amen. You need to let them know that God lives on the inside of me. Don't hide what God has given you. You need to talk about it. Talk about it. You need to tell people that there is a God that can heal. You need to tell them there is a God that can deliver. You need to tell them there is a God that can save you from your sin. Am I just talking French or Greek? I wish I could. Lord, help me to talk English where they can understand me, where they can hear what I'm saying today. But she spoke a word. She said that if he was in Israel, there is a prophet in Israel that can heal him. He said, there is a prophet. And then somebody overheard them talk, and the word got to the king, and the king said, Naaman, I want you to go to Israel because you've been so good. I don't want to see you die. I don't want to see this disease progress in your life. I don't want to see it form up in your life and take you out because you have done great for me. Come on and say amen. How many know that when you're good and honorable for the king, when you're honorable before the king will do whatever it takes to keep you going. The king will do whatever it takes to get you healed. See, I want you to see something here. When we honor God, God, the Bible says, is a great king. And if we honor the king will honor us with whatever we need. Naaman was honorable, and so the king was being honorable to Naaman. Amen. He said, Naaman, I want you to go. And in verse 5, it tells you all what he sent. He said, let me write a letter to the king of Israel on your behalf. Do you know that God will make ways where there seem to be no way? He'll bring you before people that you've never seen before. Oh, come on and say amen. Because of you being honorable to him, he said that he took with him basically 750 pounds of silver. He took with him 150 pounds of gold and 7 changes of kingly priestly arraignment that was going to be given to the king. Come on and say amen. So when the king of Israel, Joram, read this letter that was sent, and when they all came, they said that this caravan came marching from Syria into Israel, and then the king read the letter. He said he rent his clothes because he said, this is it. I know the reason why he would write me this letter asking me to heal this man is because he want to take Israel. Because he want to take what I got. Sometimes we get all in an uproar when people approach us. We get all suspicious of people and say, I know they just here because they just want something from me. But God may be setting them up and setting you up at the same time. Oh, I wish I had some help. I don't want nothing to do with them because I'm suspicious of them. They're my enemy. I know what they did to so-and-so. Well, maybe this time when they meet you, you can change their life. Oh, I wish I had help here. I know how evil they are. I heard about them. But this time when you walk up on the scene, Ananias, he's changed because God is doing something in his life. You remember when Paul, whose name was Saul, was on the Damascus Road, he was breathing great threatenings out to all the people who belong to the way or to the church of Jesus Christ. And he took them into prison and to death, and all of a sudden God changed him, but nobody knew it. God had worked on him and nobody knew it. He told Ananias, go down to the way they call straight and you'll find Saul of Tarsus. And I want you to lay hands on him. Amen. And I want you, when you lay hands on him, he said, something's going to happen in his life. And Ananias said, is this the one that you don't know, God, what he's been doing to us? He's been messing us up. I heard about how he handled people. But God said, go anyway. And he went, laid hands on him, and the scales fell off his eyes. See, what you don't realize is God may want to give a revelation to somebody through you. God wants to reveal himself through you. And if you don't go when God says go, and if you don't open up yourself when God wants you to open up yourself, then you'll fall by the wayside, and you'll fall. Whatever you can't use, what do you do with it? Whatever you don't use, you throw it in the trash. Oh, come on and say amen. God will dispose of you. If he can't use you, he'll dispose. The king said, am I God to kill and to make alive? He started looking at himself. He started looking at his own ability. That's in verse 7. He started looking at his own ability. And see, sometimes that's what we do. We start looking at whether or not we able, whether or not I got enough money in the bank. Hello. We start looking at whether or not we read enough or we prayed enough. Maybe God just want to do it. Verse 9 says, and Naaman came to Elisha. Now, the prophet heard about this letter, and he heard about the king renting his clothes. Elisha said, go tell the king, go tell him to send him here, that there is a prophet. But see, what happened is the king of Syria thought that the king of Israel would be smart enough to have a true prophet among him so that he could guide him and counsel him. Amen? That's where our government has gone wrong today. Is that they have shunned the prophets or the preachers or the ministers of God, and they going on to do what they think is right themselves. Amen. They won't hear what God is saying, which will cause people to be in so much distress because of their decisions. Amen. And so the king of Israel did not have a real prophet, but he had these puppet prophets. He had bootleg prophets. Oh, come on and say amen. People that called themselves prophets, they ate at tables and they wore prophetic clothes, but they couldn't give you a prophetic word. We got that in the churches today. People say that they are preachers. Come on and say amen. They build themselves up and sell themselves when we ought to be building up God and building his church. Oh, come on. And then giving, amen, and giving them the truth. Amen. Freely you've received, freely you ought to give. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. I wish I had somebody. He said, send the man to me. I can help him because I know you ain't got a prophet in your court to help him, but I can help him. So Naaman went up to the door of Elisha's house with all of his chariots, went up to the door, and Elisha didn't even come outside. You see, Elisha, he gives us a lesson today. He didn't even show up outside to greet the man, but he sent a messenger to tell him, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be clean. 7 times. Now, when people would bow 7 times in the Old Testament, that meant that they were totally submitted by the time they bowed on the 7th time. They were totally submitted, amen? And so he was telling him to go to the Jordan and bow 7 times or get in and wash yourself 7 times, which means that he would have to do that 7 times. And what that meant for him was that, God, I'm totally submitting to you. And if you want God to handle and help you with your flesh problem, come on and say amen, then you have to totally submit to him. Oh yeah, when you look at the number 7, it's the number of perfect completion of a thing, amen. God wants us to be totally complete. He wants us to be perfect, amen. That's why he gives us pastors, amen, and other fivefold ministry gifts so that we can be perfect for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints. Come on and say amen. And so he told him to go down, and Naaman got mad because he didn't come out and wave his hand and at least touch the area of his body that his skin had turned. He got mad because he didn't do some theatrics. And so many of us in the church today, we ain't gonna move unless there's a theatrical experience. We're not gonna move unless it look like Hollywood. We've been entertained too long. We can't do, we don't believe that God is speaking unless somebody's gyrating and speaking in tongues. God can speak right now. I don't have to speak in nothing but one tongue, that's English, and God can be speaking to you right now. Oh yeah, we have been led wrong, especially in the Afro-American church. We have been led wrong to think that theatrics mean that you're holy. Theatrics mean that God is in the building. Theatrics mean that God is moving. Theatrics don't mean that God is doing anything. I'm reminded of a man named Zacharias, who was John the Baptist's daddy. He went in the temple and the angel spoke to him, but he didn't believe. So God shut up his mouth. Can I get a witness? And then when he went out, he was moving his hands. And you know what the people said? That he must have seen a spirit and he heard something from God, but he couldn't tell them anything. You see, so many people, they preach the word and they say, they hum real good. They holler real good. But have they said anything to you that'll get you healed, delivered, set free, or saved? Have they said, oh my God, today, oh Lord, we got to get past the theatrics and start seeing that God wants to speak to us and that God wants to move in our life, but he wants to do it by us in obedience. You see, we can hear, oh yeah, we had a good time at church. Well, what he preached, my boy, he sure did preach. What he preached about, I don't know, but it was good. That's what we say. I've heard that over the years. I've heard it over and over. I can't remember what he said, but boy, did he preach. I was out, I fell out on the floor. I was in between the pew. Oh yeah, if you don't hear it ain't doing you no good. Oh, I wish I had some help today. We get caught up in that, and we can't keep getting caught up in that, because what happens is your people come and they have a good time and they walk out disobedient, and then God can't do what he wants to do in their flesh. God can't do what he wants to do in your life if you hadn't soaked up that word. That's why we got to get past the theatrics. I'll put the theatrics to the end. I'm not going to say, I heard somebody say, oh boy, he preached like Job horse pawing in the valley because he read the scripture and go to holler. That is not how I believe God wants me to do it. It may be for somebody else, but not for me, because I want you to hear what God. I hadn't prayed all this time and fasted and read the word so that I can get up and holler and you don't hear nothing. I want you to get something. If it ain't but one crumb, that crumb will sustain you. Oh yeah, if it ain't but one piece of bread, one nugget you got, if it